everything had baffled Toby. He could never do the simplest trick, was always stunned when his mom pulled the jack of hearts from behind his ear. Jamie was thrilled when her fingers were finally long and strong enough to impose her will on the cards. Soon, she was the one surprising Toby, like on his 9th birthday, when she had him shuffle the cards and then randomly counted out the date in diamonds. 3 more players busted out, and they got down to the final table. Tuckahoe was on her right, and Jack was 3 players to her left, which was a good distance, because she didn't want to see his big, sad eyes, the fake innocence on his face. Keating sat smug and calm across the table from her, like he was holding court. Phoebe was still wearing that string around her neck and had yet to look directly at Jamie. Her mother was a pro, and a pro would never give anything away through eye contact, but she would deal pocket kings to her own daughter on the very first hand. Jamie raised the blind by 4, and Jack raised her. She let herself glance at him for the first time since he'd sat down, his sad, fucking apologetic face. Fuck him, and his stupid fucking designer scruff. Heat rose in her throat. If she looked into his eyes, she would burst into flames. She pushed all her chips to the middle. Phoebe told them to turn the cards over, but Jack refused when he saw Jamie's kings. He tossed his cards into the muck and stood up.
Good game.
Asshole. She was just doing her job, and when good cards came her way, she was going to play them hard. Her next 3 hands were crap, and she knew Phoebe was cooling her off. It worked. Her gut calmed as she watched Keating take Tuckahoe's entire stack by hitting a full house on the river. Keating took out the last 2 players in consecutive hands, and it was down to her versus him in a winner-take-all final match. Loyal announced a 15-minute break to arrange the chairs on opposite ends of the table. Keating had about 300,000 in chips, twice her stack. She was supposed to lose to this man, the man who sentenced her mother and jailed her brother. He stood to stretch and saw her glaring at him. He winked, and she'd never hated anyone more. Jamie went for a soda while Phoebe sat at the table watching over the cards and chip stacks. The crowd mulled around the table, speculating loudly about the 2 remaining players. Everybody had an opinion. Keating had the advantage. The girl, a child barely out of high school, was a rookie, even if she was Loyal Elder's niece. Walking through the crowd, Jamie watched as men exchanged cash. The side bet odds were 10-1 that the judge would take her out in 2 hands, no more than 5. They could be right. Jack was sitting near the stage next to Lena Bangor and the 2 people who'd been with her earlier. Jamie was surprised to see they'd come back, but this tournament was the only thing happening in town, and it had been dedicated to Bangor. Mrs. Bangor, blondish gray and gaunt, looked about 50. She clutched a handful of tissues and sat tilted on her chair. The guy hovered over her as though he expected her to fall. Jack had already zeroed in on Lena. It was no surprise. The charming seducer with the stupid bouncy hair falling in his eyes. He stared at the floor, listening attentively to the girl, shaking his head. It made Jamie sick that she'd fallen for his act. When she got back to the table, Phoebe was counting out the deck and Loyal was hanging up his phone. He glared at Jamie as though he knew exactly what she'd done, and it made the skin on the back of her neck prickle. His eyes stayed on her a little too long. It wasn't her imagination. He knew what the cops were up to and suspected she was to blame. Her breath felt shallow and her heart beat too fast. She tried to feel the floor beneath her boots and guessed at how far Garcia might have taken things by now. Just then, Garcia and 2 uniformed officers slipped inside the front door. Jamie sat in the chair designated for her. Phoebe froze, staring at her hands, seemingly not even breathing. Mom, chill out, okay? Phoebe inhaled a sharp breath. What are they doing here? It's no big deal. I can't do this. Phoebe's eyes widened as she scanned the perimeter of the room. She put her hand on her stomach and motioned toward Loyal, who was hanging up from yet another phone call. He came to the table and Phoebe whispered in his ear. He checked his watch and held up 2 fingers.
You got 2 minutes.
Phoebe grabbed her bag and went off toward the restroom. Loyal narrowed his eyes at the entrance.
What's he doing here?
He said, motioning with his chin toward Garcia and the cops. No idea, Jamie said. She picked up a small stack of chips and shuffled them to stop her hands from trembling.
I'm serious, Loyal said.
Jamie recognized his tone. She stared at the far wall to calm her nerves, trying to appear thoughtful. Not much happens in this town. They probably just want to see the game play out. The break was over. Keating pried himself away from his admirers and took his seat. 2 minutes passed. Then three. Loyal checked his watch.
Where is she?
It's her stomach, Jamie said.
Go check on her,
Loyal said. Jamie walked down the hallway to the restroom. She saw her mother's clunky work shoes beneath a stall door. What's going on, Mom? Everyone's waiting. The toilet flushed and Phoebe stepped out, glancing toward the door, her bag hanging off her shoulder. Why is that cop here? It's not about you. Jamie hesitated, trying to piece out what to tell the woman and what to keep from her until later.
How do you know? He's been sniffing around all week. He's got something on one of us.
Okay, relax. Something did happen last night, but listen to me. You gotta keep your cool and play this out. We gotta make it look like we got nothing to hide. Phoebe turned white and leaned against the sink.
I knew it. I felt it all morning. What happened?
It was just like Phoebe to come unglued at the most crucial moment. But Jamie suspected the woman's instinct was more survival than maternal. Toby's hurt, but he's okay.
What do you mean hurt? Where is he?
The hospital.
Why the hell didn't you tell me?
Why tell you? There was nothing you could do.
Nothing I could do.
He's still in custody. You can't just walk in. The lie came out like poison. Jilkins had told her a parent would be allowed to visit, but Phoebe had done nothing to earn that right.
I can't believe you didn't tell me this. I know how the system works. I'm his mother. They'll let me in.
You're my mother, too, and I need you to keep it together.
Come on, Jamie. You never needed anyone, least of all me.
Phoebe pulled the ring out from beneath her blouse, took the string from around her neck.
I can't be near a cop with this thing.
It was bigger than Jamie remembered, as big as a golf ball, blinding with gold and diamonds. That's the least of our worries.
Not the least of mine.
Phoebe pushed the ring at Jamie.
Get this away from me. Throw it in the river. I don't care. Just get rid of it.
Her eyes darted around the room. Okay, okay. I'll figure it out. Jamie slipped the ring into her pocket. Just come back out to the table. Keep it cool, or you'll draw more attention. Phoebe opened the bathroom window.
Someone else can deal the rest of that game. I'm his mother, Jamie.
Phoebe pointed at her chest.
I'm the only one they'll let visit.
She threw her bag out the window into the alley behind the building.
Now you're his mother? I fed him and sent him to school every morning for years, but now you're his mother? Scared is all you are. If you take off now, it makes all of us look guilty. Yeah, I'm scared. Scared that if I get locked up, I'll never see him again.
Phoebe crawled out the window.
Tell Loyal I got sick and went home. I knew this would happen, damn it! I knew you would leave like this!
Jamie said, but Phoebe kept walking. The alley was empty except for an overflowing dumpster. A plastic garbage bag caught in the wind and tumbled around the corner. Jamie watched as Phoebe neared the corner, pulled a card from her cuff and threw it on the ground.
Shit.
The last thing Jamie needed was to have that deck of cards come up one card short. She crawled through the window and ran to get the card. The Queen of Spades. She slipped it into her cuff and climbed back inside. Jamie ran water in the sink, splashed some on her face. She should have seen this coming. Should have known it would go down like this, that her mother would leave her to finish things on her own, like always. She dried her face with paper towels, stared, pissed off at the mirror, hated that her eyes were the same grayish blue as her mother's, set too far apart with that same slope of eyebrow. A cleaning roster and a pen hung on a nail over the sink. She took the pen and scribbled ink on her finger, smudged it over one eyelid. She liked the effect it had, and did the other side. Jamie stood back and checked her image in the mirror. Here was a new creature, one with the eyes of a warrior. Chapter 36. A crowd had gathered around the final table when Jamie returned.
Where is she?
Loyal asked. Jamie sat down. Dunno. It looks like she left.
What the fuck?
There was a moment of chaos as his chair thumped backward, and he went down the hall to the restroom to see for himself, as though Phoebe might have left a trail. By the time he came back, he was angry and grumbling about a new plan. Lena Bangor would deal the final match. The girl refused to get up from her chair.
No, I don't know how.
Don't worry.
Loyal pulled her to her feet.
I'll tell you exactly what to do.
But I've never even played.
She flicked her eyes at Jamie, who dropped her gaze and pretended to count her chips. Instead, she was quietly speculating about allowing herself to lose, how much it would piss off Loyal if she didn't take the beating, and how the cards might fall without her mother's interference. Fades and bluffs. Regardless of the cards, she had to play to the man's weakness, his ego.
It's easy.
Loyal led Lena to Phoebe's empty chair. He pulled his own chair up behind her and said,
In fact, it's even better this way.
Keating said,
Your dad would be proud.
And the girl picked up the deck. The crowd pushed in closer. There was no pretense here. No one expected Jamie, the strange-looking girl, the contender with the weirdly dramatic eyes, to bring much game. Jack leaned against a wall across the room and stared at Jamie. He pointed at his eyes with a perplexed expression, but Jamie didn't care. Fuck you all, resumed in her head, drowning out everything else.
Shovel up and deal,
Loyal said, but Lena spilled the cards on the table. It was better than a shuffle. Even if her uncle had stacked the cards while she was in the bathroom, Jamie knew he couldn't plant a card in this situation if his life depended on it. She folded the first hand, and Keating folded the second, trading chips and staying even. On the third hand, Keating made a big bet, and Jamie raised it by three. She propped her elbows on the table and leaned her chin on her fists. He tapped the shirt pocket holding his cigarettes, his eyes darting sideways and then back to center, and called her bet. Two jacks came on the flop. She bet again, hoping he'd fold. She guessed he had face cards, maybe a king and a queen. He hesitated, then called her bet. She pushed all in when a nine came on the turn. Loyal sat with his arm stretched possessively across the back of Lena's chair, cleared his throat, and glared straight-faced at Jamie. He'd be pissed if she made Keating look foolish. But if the crowd of men betting against her wanted a show, she'd give it to them. Keating folded.
I'll give you this one, little lady.
He turned over an ace and threw his other card into the muck. Jamie slid her cards face down across the table and said nothing. Keating smiled his campaign smile.
Be a sport and show one.
No, sir. I never show my cards, Jamie said.
Oh, come on. This is a friendly game.
He reached for her cards and flipped the first one he touched. The 10. She gestured, whatever, hoping he'd flip the other card too. He did. When he saw the deuce, he glanced hotly at Loyal. Jamie stacked her chips and willed a straight face. She'd pulled off a classic bluff with a 10-2, and someone in the back of the crowd laughed. Keating couldn't have expected a move like that in a game that was supposed to have been rigged in his favor. His face reddened, but the embarrassment was his own fault. He shouldn't have turned her cards over when she'd said no. He drummed his fingers on the table, tapped his shirt pocket again. Loyal shuffled the deck and handed the cards to Lena, who dealt the next hand. Their stacks were even now, and any hand could end the game. Keating leaned back and stretched his arms over his head, smiled at Lena. It was pathetic. The old guy sucking up to a grief-stricken girl. He might appear to be consoling and fatherly, but Jamie saw how his eyes lingered over the girl's breasts.
The action's on the judge, Loyal said.
Keating peeked at his whole cards and tossed a few chips in the pot. Jamie checked. Lena turned over the first three community cards. Two tens and a king. Keating fired a huge bet, and Jamie folded her lousy pocket threes. On the next hand, Jamie turned the corners up on her cards and saw a good hand, the 10 of diamonds and 9 of spades. Her vision narrowed, but her mind expanded with an odd but familiar awareness. This was the hand it would all come down to. Lena spread the community cards. The King of Hearts, the 10 and 3 of Spades. A pair of 10s was good in a heads-up match, but Keating was too calm. A murmur went through the crowd. Someone whistled. Someone said,
"We might get some fireworks now."
Keating bet half his stack and the crowd hushed. He might have big cards, but she was still in it with her pair of 10s and the spades. She could hit a legitimate spade flush. But right now, he was beating her and he knew it. She made her hands tremble slightly.
Toby never folded spades. He'd always bet them, always believed they'd come through.
"This one's for you, brother." She made her hands tremble a little more, fumbled the chips as she counted them out. Keating watched her closely, tried not to smile at what he would have to presume were nerves. Her mind was quiet, except for the ticking of her heart. It had been so cold that day at the jail, Toby's fingers nearly blue. She imagined his hands, cold and numb while he tied the hangman's knot. He was so damn good at knots. She wondered how many times he'd changed his mind, tied it and untied it, before deciding to go through with it. How long had he spent trying to get the rope the right length? The turn was the Ace of Diamonds. Loyal tapped a knuckle on the table.
"Earth to Jamie."
Keating fired a big bet. It would take half her stack to make the call. Keating looked smug. She guessed at what he might be holding. Maybe ace-queen? In that case, his aces would beat her tens, and if the last card was a jack, he'd have a straight. He leaned back in his chair, linked his fingers over his belly, breathed deeply as though he was struggling not to smile. He didn't, she noticed, look her in the eye or pat the pack of cigarettes in his shirt pocket. She felt sure he had the aces and a straight draw. Had there been a pipe overhead? Or a high, barred window? Toby's last lonely wish must have vanished as the chair went out from under his feet and his neck snapped in the noose. Had he hoped that someone, his mother, uncle, or sister, someone, anyone, would step in and pull him back from the edge? Had he changed his mind in that last second? How long had he suffered before the guard came back on his round? Thank God they found him in time. Loyal rapped impatiently on the table. She bent up the corners of her whole cards again. She was supposed to fold here, let Keating take half her stack, and move him one step closer to the win. Chances were his aces would hold up, and then this whole stupid charade would be over. But no one could blame her for staying in it with a pair of tens. They would say it was a good call. But if she won, then everyone would come unglued. The crowd moved in tighter to watch the last hand. Garcia pushed through to stand behind Loyal. When he put his hands into his pockets, Jamie saw the flash of metal cuffs hooked to his belt. She decided to go for it. When she made the call, the top of her head turned cold. Loyal hunkered over the table and flicked a warning at her with his eyes. She ignored him. What could he do in front of all these people? Lena held the deck with both hands. Loyal said,
"Burn one."
She placed the next card face down in the muck and then turned over the fifth card. A blur passed in front of Jamie's eyes. The Jack of Spades. If she'd read him right, Keating had made his straight. There were only 3 spades on the board. That queen was in her cuff, but her pulse was beating wildly and her hands jittered like moths in a streetlight. It was Keating's move. His eyes were dead still on her, practically gloating. Her water bottle sat on the floor beside her chair. As she reached for it, she moved the queen to her palm. Keating said,
"All in."
Her heart banged in her throat. She picked up her whole cards again, switched the 10 for the queen, coughed, and moved the 10 to her jacket pocket. She straightened and counted to 3. Anyone who'd seen what she'd done would speak up immediately. But no one did.
"I call," she said.
He turned over the Queen of Diamonds and the Ace of Hearts. Just as she thought, he'd made an ace high straight. The crowd buzzed and whooped. Keating punched the air with his fist and high-fived Eddie. Loyal's shoulders gave a little, and the tension in his jaw relaxed. He pushed Keating's cards forward to show the straight and let it sit there. Jamie turned over her queen nine and waited. Keating read the board. A hum rustled through the crowd.
God damn, Eddie said. She's got spades.
Chapter 37. Jamie counted the spades again. Two in her hand, three on the board.
My straight is best, right? Keating asked.
His mouth gaped like he needed air, his hopeful tone fading as comprehension sharpened in his eyes. Loyal let the straight stand as the winner for a beat, until someone said,
A flush beats a straight.
Lena sat down the deck and put her hands in her lap as though she'd done something wrong.
God damn it to hell,
Keating said. His hands gripped the edge of the table as though he might turn it over. He looked at Loyal and mumbled something about getting even. Loyal studied the board, swiped Keating straight to the side, and pushed the spade flush forward. Jamie had never experienced a thrill like the one bouncing in her belly now, making her feel like she would burst if she didn't vomit first. But she waited to see what Loyal would say. He leaned across the table and whispered,
Where'd that queen come from?
From the deck. It wasn't exactly a lie, because that's where Phoebe had taken it from. No one had seen Jamie pull that queen out of her sleeve, but he knew as well as she did. Elder's kids were rarely innocent, and they never, ever won that easy. Keating's eyes went flat. He stared at the cards as though they were evil, as though in a moment they would correct themselves and line up in his favor. There was a lot of cursing as the spectators started paying outside bets. Eddie slapped Jamie's shoulder and set a tiny wooden plaque trophy on the table in front of her. Jamie felt an impulse to run and tell Toby. He would be so psyched. Then remembered he was laying half-conscious in a hospital bed. Loyal said,
Pull up your sleeves.
Whatever, she said and showed her wrists. Loyal grabbed her wrists and yanked at her cuffs, but she'd tucked the card into her jacket pocket, so he turned her loose. Garcia stepped closer. Loyal picked up the lockbox he'd been keeping under his chair and stood as if to leave. If he didn't give her the prize money in front of this crowd, she'd never see it.
You're not going until you award the prize, Eddie said. You always pay out the money at the end of the game.
Loyal shook his head, but Eddie persisted.
She won it. Give it to her.
The crowd pressed closer to the table. Eddie started chanting,
Show her the money!
A few other men joined in.
All right, all right.
Loyal set the lockbox on the table and opened the lid, said low enough that only she could hear.
You're giving this back to me before you leave this building.
A few men clapped. The wad of $100 bills in her hands was heavy and wonderful and intoxicating. She jammed it in her pocket, wondering how she could get out of the building before Loyal cornered her and demanded she give it back. Across the table, Garcia motioned to a uniformed officer. The man took Lena's arm and walked the Bangor family out the front door. Two more uniformed cops stepped inside. Loyal pulled on his coat and stood up, but Garcia stepped in front of him and wheeled him around. Loyal slapped Garcia's hand away.
Jesus Christ, Garcia, what the hell do you want?
Garcia took the handcuffs off his belt.
I have a warrant for your arrest.
The fuck you do?
Loyal pushed Garcia and lunged at Jamie.
Girl, what the hell did you do?
She tripped backward, but Eddie and another man caught her from falling. Loyal hit the ground hard, though, and Garcia swiftly cuffed him. He and a cop helped Loyal to his feet as Jamie got her balance and righted herself. She'd never expected to see cops manhandle her uncle, and now she noticed just how much his belly protruded over his belt, how his pants sagged at his ass, how gauzy and washed out his eyes were, the amount of gray in the scruff on his jowls. She'd never expected to feel such pity for the man. Garcia held a document in Loyal's face.
This doesn't have anything to do with her. We confiscated 37 illegal gambling machines purported to be owned by you.
What? Are you kidding me? What are you talking about? Those machines raise money for charities.
That's bullshit and everyone knows it.
You're taking food out of the mouths of children,
Loyal yelled.
You're being charged with operating illegal gambling equipment,
Garcia continued.
The information came from a highly reputable source.
Jamie bet no one would take her as the reputable source. But still, wanted to run from the room. She fought the urge and stared hard at Keating because everything hinged on Loyal believing he'd been sold out by his buddy.
A reputable source.
Loyal wheeled around and looked at Keating.
You. What did you do?
Keating's face shifted to recognition. Loyal pulled out of Garcia's grip.
Don't do this, Keating. Don't you do this.
Keating cleared his throat and held up his hand. For the first time in his life, he was outnumbered. He took the safe route and rolled on Loyal.
It seems like it's already been done. It's time to clean up, Blind River. Certain things...
He stopped and glanced at Loyal.
Certain things have been going on unnoticed in this county for too long. I'm promising right here now that a vote for my re-election is a vote for a more decent town. You can count on that.
Loyal stood dumbfounded, flanked by Garcia and the cop. Garcia faced Keating and said,
Maybe it's time we called it a day. What do you say, boss? Isn't it time for some whiskey?
Keating's face relaxed. He gathered his things with the same dignity Jamie imagined he displayed in his courtroom and began moving through the crowd. Garcia and the cop guided him toward the door. Someone mentioned Crowley's pub, and the crowd began to disperse and follow them outside. Loyal glared at Keating as the man walked out the door, and something inside Jamie shifted in reaction to the defeat on her uncle's face. It surprised her how calm she felt. He stood alone behind the table, his hands cuffed across his waist. Part one of her plan was complete. Jamie walked up to him, hoping to set the last part in motion. She needed Loyal to believe Keating had ratted out the gambling operation. What are you going to do? He seemed stunned.
This is bullshit. What the fuck just happened?
She shook her head sympathetically. Looks to me like things got too hot for Keating and he sold you out. He used your operation to throw the law's attention off that missing man. So if things start surfacing, he'll look innocent and you'll get pegged as Toby's accomplice.
I don't know. He's never let me down before.
He looked her in the eye.
How do I know it wasn't you?
A good bluff, her mother had always said, starts and ends with a blank face. She made her face unreadable, realizing it was her only weapon. Wasn't me. She saw a flicker of doubt cloud his face and held his gaze until his eyes dropped and he shook his head.
I gotta think. Get the flask out of my back pocket.
He could have pulled the plug whenever he wanted, but he waited till right now, till that man goes missing. Till right before the election. You going to let him get away with that? Who do you think is going to walk away from this thing? You or the man these people elected? She got out the flask and unscrewed the top. It would be his last taste of whiskey, and she knew he'd miss that more than anything. All you ever needed was the location of that man's body. You said as much yourself that night. He lifted the flask to his lips. You think about that when they book you. When they take your belt and shoes. Think about how Keating sold you out same as he did Toby. He drained the whiskey.
You're right, little girl. That fucker will regret this. You figured that out fast, though, didn't you?
I always heard that apples don't fall far from the tree.
Maybe. Maybe that's true.
His eyes turned to her and she read suspicion there.
You be careful now. Sometimes you get what you want in this world. But what's more often true is you get what you deserve.
Jamie took a step back. He was cuffed, but he was still a big man. You're not threatening me, are you, Uncle?
It's not a threat. It's a prediction. Every elder's gets their due.
She tried to shrug it off, but that wicked chill ran up her spine again. Was that true? Didn't her father die stupidly? Her mother spend years in prison? Wasn't her brother lying half dead in a hospital bed this very minute? Wasn't she trying to outsmart a lifelong con man? She lowered her voice, but her words still came out shaky. The way I see it, you got one chance to settle the score. Go for the man who came for you. Garcia brought another cop over and told him to take Loyal downtown. She figured she had an hour or two before Loyal met with a public defender and spilled the details on Bangor. The cards and the lockbox sat on the table. Jamie brought the missing card out of her jacket pocket and slipped it back in the deck.
I didn't see that, Garcia said.
He gathered the deck and put it inside the lockbox, which he opened and held out in front of her.
In here.
What?
All money associated with Loyal Elder's operation is considered evidence while he's under investigation by the State Commission.
This is my money. I won it. Everyone saw.
He held the box up and shook his head. You can't have it both ways, Jamie. Nothing Loyal Elder's touched is legit.
She pulled the wad out of her pocket and put it in the box. Garcia closed the lid and handed it to another cop, who bagged and sealed it with the date, as Jamie watched her last hope at getting the hell out of Blind River disappear. Garcia had done exactly what she'd wanted. He'd used the photographs of the ledger off Keating's phone to find Loyal's gambling sites and bust the whole operation, and Loyal's only retaliation would be to give up the location of Bangor's body. The two men would likely never speak to each other again, and even if they did, they'd never figure out how she'd set them against each other. Soon enough, Loyal would be sitting in the same jail where Toby had been just yesterday. It was hard to imagine her uncle confined to a small cell, the guards laughing when he asked for a cigarette and some whiskey or demanded an aspirin and a cup of coffee. She scanned the room for a soda or a bag of pretzels, but the players had wiped the refreshments table clean. She dug through her backpack for leftover crumbs from the trail mix, anything to stop the grumbling in her stomach. Something sharp in the bottom of the bag jabbed her finger and she pulled out a Greyhound bus ticket. Departure time, 8:30 p.m. Destination, Atlantic City. There was a message written on it. Follow your heart, but always bet your spades. Chapter 38.
There's one more thing I need from you, Garcia said once they were inside his car.
I need to stop by the hospital and see my brother first, Jamie said. Garcia gave a glacial sigh and shook his head no.
There's a family waiting for their father and husband.
I just gave you the biggest arrest this town has ever seen, and you just took my last dollar.
What you gave me was a list of illegal gambling sites. Your uncle just got arrested, and if he has any information on Bangor, he'll play it right away. I'm guessing you have a very short window of time to get out from under whatever part you played in this.
All I need is 10 minutes. Garcia turned south on Main and pulled into the hospital's emergency drive. He got a letter out of his jacket pocket and held it open for Jamie to see.
Sign this right now or I can't help you.
The car doors clicked locked. She pushed the paper away and tried the handle. I'll be right back.
You aren't getting out of this car without signing this first.
He handed her a pen. Christ, Garcia, what is this? Jamie took the form and saw her name on the first line.
This makes you an official informant in your uncle's illegal activities, and lets me give you protection and keep you anonymous in an investigation. Whatever your involvement was, I know you were a pawn to these people. Sign this form, and I got your back.
There was that word again. Protection. But Keating would never agree to something that helps me. Where'd you get this?
He has no influence with the state's gaming commission, and Bangor's disappearance seems connected. It's too suspicious. This is their jurisdiction now.
Jamie sank in her seat. This makes me an official snitch.
That form puts you on the right side of things and is likely to keep you out of jail. The courts tend to take illegal gambling operations seriously. Sign the bottom line.
Is this how you deal with your own daughter? Because it probably pisses her off.
Not that it's any of your business, but I never had children.
She didn't see another option. He was offering protection, and real or not, no one else seemed to even care. It was her only play. She took the pen and signed her name. He unlocked the doors and pulled a lighter from his pocket.
You got till I finish this cigarette.
A cop was stationed outside the ICU and told her she wasn't allowed inside. Through the glass wall, she saw Phoebe sitting next to Toby's bed, holding his hand, her clunky white sneakers sticking out beneath her ridiculous high-water jeans. Except for the single tube protruding from his mouth, Toby looked like he was sleeping off an all-nighter. Jamie tapped on the window and Phoebe came outside. How is he?
His eyes opened when I took his hand. I think he might have smiled at me.
Phoebe's eyes glistened.
The doctor is optimistic, but the nurse said he'll be in a county rehab.
and it will be weeks before he'll be able to talk. She lowered her voice. Come on, let's get away from this cop. The two of them went to the vending area for whatever the snack machine had in it. Jamie sank onto a plastic chair near the window, stared at the dingy hospital walls, while Phoebe dropped coins into the coffee machine.
Interesting thing you've done with your eye makeup,
Phoebe said, and Jamie bristled. What did she have in common with this woman? Love for a self-destructive boy? DNA? A mutual fate? Neither of them had ever had the freedom to make their own choices in life, and they'd fought back as best they could, with a tendency toward theft. That's what they had in common. That's what she'd inherited. She didn't want to be near her mother, the source of her dark side. But she wanted answers. Why did you steal back then? How was that so much more important than playing it straight, staying out of jail so you could take care of your kids? The question came out angry, and she hated how it made her sound like a child. That was a long time ago. Seems like nothing's changed. That's not fair. You're leaving here without explaining anything. I might never even see you again. Phoebe tilted her head and turned away. It was hard to make ends meet, you know. Your dad didn't leave any insurance and I was broke. Toby got a bad fever and I took him to a walk-in clinic. It was 6 months after your dad died, and I hadn't filled out the paperwork for Medicaid yet. When the nurse found out I had left you home alone, she threatened to call family services. They handed me a bottle of antibiotics for Toby, and I snuck past the front desk without paying. They wanted $280 for one bottle of antibiotics. Next day, a cop comes knocking on my door with an arrest warrant. There were other misdemeanors, bad checks, petty stuff. Back then, I made one mistake after another. I was already on probation. The DA worked out a deal to get me a reduced sentence if I pled guilty and saved the town the cost of a trial. I knew Loyal would take you two in until I got out, so I took the deal. It took a moment for that to register, and when it did, Jamie's voice was not much more than a whisper. Antibiotics? That's what you stole? A bottle of pills for Toby. It had never occurred to her that Phoebe might have stolen drugs to help one of her kids. Jamie had just assumed Oxy, and in 8 years, no one had said a thing that made her think differently. No one told me.
Yeah, well, I'm sure Loyal spun it to make me look like a bitch.
But you were a kid, and people believe what they hear. Jamie and Toby had never talked about their mother stealing drugs. Despite small-town rumors, she'd hoped to keep that one thing from him so he'd grow up believing in his mother's innocence and see himself in that same light. She'd hoped to get that one thing right. But it had been a stupid plan, because she herself had never believed. All she knew was that she'd been abandoned, and that made her angry. Angry enough to assume the worst and never question it. Phoebe handed Jamie a cup of coffee. You hungry? I got chocolate chip. She dropped more coins in the machine.
But 8 years? That doesn't make sense.
Well, prison was rough. I made the wrong friends. Got punished for things I did and framed for things I didn't. Got into fights. Pissed off the guards. They added months, years, before I figured out how to keep out of trouble. Some people get along inside, some don't.
She reached down to retie a shoelace.
It took me a long time to learn. Strange, though, I almost miss it. It's not so different outside. I work hard all day, 6 days a week, but all I got either place is a meal and a cot. Except one thing. Out here, I got at least one kid that needs me.
Phoebe's smile seemed defeated.
It's okay, Jamie. We're family. We don't have to be friends.
Jamie thought about that night she and Toby had gotten picked up as runaways. The steel grid in the back seat of the police cruiser, the tidal wave of anxiety. The sight of those bars still left her breathless. She couldn't imagine living inside them. She handed the coffee back to her mother. Her mother stared out the window, her reflection stark and plain. It was frustrating, this anger, and never being able to place blame. But that man, It was self-defense, Jesus. He was angry, drunk. He recognized me from the poker game. He lunged at me and I don't know. I jumped and my gun went off. Then there was a bloody hole in his stomach and he was dead. You could tell from his eyes, the way he stared at the ceiling. It was horrible. Keating went ballistic and I knew right then I was screwed. So I took the ring, because I knew I would need money if I ran. But it was Keating who started the whole thing, getting him to bet that stupid ring. Phoebe shivered and took the chair opposite the window. Neither of them would ever be completely free of the images from that night. Do you know what it's like? To think your life has taken a turn for the better, that you might have a future, and then watch it fall apart because two men get into a pissing contest. Keating's a powerful man in this town. Do you really think I could tell him no? He changed my life completely once and he could have done it again. He'd been nice to me, gentlemanly. I let myself hope that maybe I'd found a home, a real home. I let myself think that for a whole day and half of one night. I wanted to get back a little bit of what I'd had with your father. Is that so much to ask? Jamie's memory of those days existed in the form of snapshots. Her mother and dad and Toby at a picnic. Her parents sitting together on the couch watching reruns. Briefly, they'd had it all. Jamie put her hand on her mother's arm, surprised by how thin it was. It startled them both. This sudden intimacy, the small bones of the woman's forearm feeling like a wing Jamie could twist and break. She pulled her hand back. I don't know what to believe anymore. Phoebe shook a cigarette out of her pack, said nothing. You can't smoke in here. Phoebe lit it anyway. Silence hung between them, thick as the smoke clouding her mother's face. I never lied to you. Your whole life, I never told you one lie. Phoebe pocketed the lighter. I've done a lot of bad things, but the one thing I never did was lie to you. That's what happened that night. You decide to believe it or not. An aide pushed an empty gurney around the corner and Phoebe crushed the cigarette under her sneaker. Doesn't matter, she said. I'm not leaving. Not now, anyway.
You're staying? Her mother stared at the floor, her face stern and gaunt with something it took a moment to recognize. Determination. Between the bad luck and the bad choices, the woman was down to nothing but her own free will.
The cop said they'll let me visit him for 15 minutes twice a day. I'm broke, but I still have my job, my apartment. When I got out of prison, I thought I was getting a second chance to get things right. But I was wrong. This is my chance. My only chance.
I thought you were afraid to stay. Phoebe stood up and stretched her back.
What I am is tired. There's not enough to pin it on me unless Keating testifies. And what's for sure is that he doesn't want anyone to know he was screwing an ex-con.
But once the body is found, some other piece of the puzzle will give. Jamie searched her mother's face for some evidence of truth and saw it. Right there, in the steady way she held her gaze.
It was Keating's house that got broken into. He picked a fight with that man when he swindled him out of the ring. That cop saw it, and Keating's the one who got loyal to cover everything up.
Jamie squared that with what she already knew. Keating had gotten rid of the guns because the gun Phoebe used was registered to him. Her 10 minutes were almost up and Garcia was waiting. Jamie handed Phoebe the necklace from Toby along with the bus ticket. You should keep this and get a refund on the ticket.
You never even thought about coming with me, did you?
Jamie shrugged. Not really.
I guess it was silly to hope. You've been a good sister to him, you know. But this is my time to try and be half a decent mother.
She lowered her voice. Did you get rid of that ring?
Not yet. But I got a plan.
She made a zipping motion over her mouth. It was the only thing linking Phoebe to Bangor, but Jamie knew exactly what she needed to do with it.
Fair enough. How did the tournament end?
I found that queen of spades you tossed down in the alley and played it against Keating.
I was going to slip that to you just to keep things interesting. Don't tell me you won with it.
Jamie laughed darkly.
I hit a flush. And won?
I won. But Garcia busted Loyal's operation and confiscated the prize money.
Loyal got busted and you're broke. Jesus, kid. The curse lives on.
Chapter 39. Garcia was where she'd left him in the ER driveway. When Jamie closed the car door, he put it in drive and asked,
"Which way?"
"Straight up Main. Keep north on the county road." He cracked the window and clenched a cigarette between his lips, offered her the pack. She waved it off.
"Put your safety belt on."
She tugged the thing over her chest, hating the way it cut into the side of her neck. They passed the three billboards from Imola, the neon lights still pulsing but pale against the sky. They approached the interstate and he asked,
"East or west?"
"Straight," she pointed. "Take the underpass."
"Huh,"
he said and slowed the car a bit.
"People don't come out this way much unless they're hunting."
At the end of the tunnel, the road dipped and turned to gravel. The sedan bounced and bottomed out briefly, and Garcia swerved around a pothole. Another 100 yards and the gate appeared off to the left. Everything was how she'd left it. He would still be there, under all those rocks. It made her queasy to think of decomposing flesh. Worms, maggots. A flash of heat hit her stomach and she fought it off by rolling down her window and letting the cold air hit her face. "Right there," she said, and he stopped the car in front of the broken gate. He threw his cigarette out the window.
"I remember that gate. I came hunting here once, with some guys from Vice. This is Keating's land. Are you telling me TJ Bangor is here?"
"Follow me." She grabbed her backpack.
"Christ. Is your uncle in on this?"
Jamie got out of the car. "You could call him the cleanup man."
"This is enough to get a warrant for Keating's house?"
He cut her off in front of the car.
"You know you're about to cross the most powerful man in this county."
"As far as he'll ever know, Loyal gave him up for revenge."
"Okay, but you need to be clear. A move like this will affect the rest of your life."
"I know that. I already made my decision. I know exactly how this plays out if I keep quiet. I've seen it with my own two eyes. From now on, I take my chances." The ground was squishy and wet, weeds bending beneath her boots. The deer blind in the pine tree was to the left, and beyond that, the ground sloped away to the right. Garcia followed her awkwardly, his shoes already caking with mud. They stopped at the top of the rise just before the gully. The rock mound covering TJ's body lay untouched at the bottom of the slope, stones piled in the shape of a coffin. Garcia caught up and stopped next to her.
"Oh, man,"
he said. Wind blew across the field and he turned up his lapels. Jamie said nothing. The mound of rocks had caved in a little in the middle, and it made her uneasy to think of the weight of them pressing against the man's soft middle. Jamie shut her eyes, pushing down the queasiness, telling herself it was almost over.
"How long has he been here?"
The days were a blur. It seemed like a year. 5 days, maybe. He could piece it together himself.
"Was he killed here? Do you know what happened?"
"No and no. You should ask Keating, though. He's the man with all the answers." Garcia shook his head.
"I figured. What with the game that night in the ring? How did you get dragged into it?"
She told him about that night, how Loyal had woken her up after a call from Keating, how her uncle had made her sit on the floorboard so she wouldn't know where they were going, how just last night she'd put the pieces together on her own and found her way here. She didn't mention seeing Phoebe in the second story window that night at Keating's, but added, "It's not surprising. Loyal and Keating go back years."
"Nothing surprises me anymore."
He shook loose another cigarette. Jamie fingered the ring inside her pocket, thinking it through. The diamonds alone might be worth more than 50,000,
But if the Elder's curse was real, she had this one chance to break it.
I'm going to have to talk to your mother, you know? There's a lot of unanswered questions.
No, you don't need to talk to her. But if you go looking, you'll find her where she's been all along. Working in a little diner on Main Street, dishing out blue plate specials to the good people of Blind River. Jamie held her hand out, opened it palm up. You should give this back to Lena Bangor and her mother. What was left of the day's sunlight caught in the facets of the diamonds and bounced off the gold. He took it, turned it over in his palm.
Where'd you get this?
It's everything you wanted, right? She shrugged. Here's what I think. TJ Bangor went back to Keating's house and got shot during an argument over that ring. It was between the two of them. Maybe it was self-defense, maybe he'll say that he wished he'd handled it better. Nobody else pays for this. Not my mother, not my brother.
That's what you think.
He wiped the ring with a handkerchief. She'd just handed over a fortune, yet she felt like she'd dropped the weight of 100 lies. It's a fair deal, don't you think? She adjusted her backpack, caught herself when the horizon tilted.
It's homicide, Jamie. If your mother's involved, it will come out.
Sweat began to bead on her forehead. Keating would never let it come out if he had an ex-felon in his house, much less if he'd slept with one. He'd be ruined. All his convictions from the last 20 years would get thrown out and throw this town into chaos. He'll claim innocence or self-defense, but his career will be over. He'll retire early and spend more time at his country club. That's the way things work in this town, right? And you'll be rid of a dirty judge. A sweet, decaying smell came at them on the wind. She rubbed her forehead, wincing at the bruise Loyal had left with the back of his hand.
It's freezing out here and you're sweating. You okay?
There's a dead man under that pile of rocks. No, I'm not okay. He pulled a roll of peppermints out of his pocket and handed them to her.
Sometimes sugar helps.
She moved away from the smell and sucked on the candy. Her stomach settled a little.
Here.
He handed her a slip of paper with a phone number on it.
Give me a password.
She took the paper. What's this?
Text that number. Type in the password, and the funds will be transferred to the bank account number you give it.
The reward? I don't want it. That family, no, I can't take that. Another little part of her died right there, having to pass on that money.
It isn't just the family's money. Half of it came from Keating.
He turned the ring over in his palm.
What?
Why would he do that?
Probably wants to look innocent. Look, I had to take that prize money. But isn't it better this way? The reward money is free and clear. Yours because you earned it.
She thought it through. This money wasn't tied to Loyal, and she had found the body on her own. Still, wasn't it blood money?
I don't know. Listen, kid. You've been through a lot. Maybe it's time you let go of everybody else's business and started building a life. This money is a result of doing the right thing. It's 20,000. Not enough for you to feel guilty about, but enough to give you a start in life. Maybe somewhere new. Take it.
The unexpected kindness caused her eyes to burn and a hard knot to form at the back of her throat. For once, she'd have enough money not to worry about food or clothes. She could have a place of her own, somewhere far away with a door and a lock. A feeling of warmth settled about her shoulders. It would be enough.
It can't be traced if you use a burner cell phone. Give me a password.
It might even be enough for her to play the professional circuit for half a year, if she kept the buy-ins low and lived cheap. She said the first thing that came to mind. The odds.
I'll set it up as soon as I get a positive ID on the body.
What about the ring? He hesitated.
Forget you ever saw it. But don't be surprised if you read in the paper that it turned up when we searched Keating's game room. As far as anyone can recall, it was the last place it was seen. Eventually, it will get back to the family.
family. She thought of Phoebe sitting by Toby's bed, holding his hand, wanting this last chance to get things right. All Jamie had to do was step out of the way. Garcia brushed his fingers on his trousers and climbed back up the ridge.
Stay in touch. I might need to get a statement from you. Down the road.
I thought all I had to do was locate the body. I thought it would all be anonymous.
I'll do everything I can. You've been instrumental in 2 big cases and you got no priors. That should go a long way. I'd say, as things stand, you'll be okay. Who knows? You might even be the first elders to avoid seeing the inside of a jail cell. But you should lay low. You got someplace to go?
She thought about Florida, where the legal age for gambling in the Indian casinos was 18. I was thinking about heading south.
Where?
Florida.
Florida? What the hell's in Florida?
Casinos. Big tournaments. Warm weather and orange trees.
Huh. All right. Just make sure I know how to find you.
He flipped open his cell phone.
You gotta go now. Once I call this in, this area will be swarming with a forensic team.
She pulled an envelope out of her backpack and handed it to him. Can you get this to my uncle? Garcia opened the envelope, looked through the stack of postcards.
What's this?
They're from a guy who used to be his friend. He likes to look through them at night. She imagined Loyal sitting in a small cell, thumbing through the cards, maybe trading them one by one for a pack of smokes or a bar of soap. Garcia stuffed them into his coat pocket.
I'll get them to him, little Miss Sunshine.
She walked toward the woods.
You're not like them, you know. Your mother or your uncle,
he yelled as she walked away.
Be your own girl, Jamie Elders.
A plume of smoke snaked above the tree line where the tracks ran through the woods, and she headed toward it. She'd follow the tracks back to Blind River to catch the late train. By midnight, she'd be on her way. Over to the coast, then south, all the way to Florida, to Jacksonville and further. Tampa, then Fort Lauderdale. She looked back once. Across the open space, Garcia was talking into his phone. Imagining the distance she could travel in a few days caused an unexpected lightness in her chest. What if she was different than them? What if she could shed the past? What if she had her own fate, separate and unknowable? Low on the blue horizon, wild geese flew across the sun. What if there really was something better waiting for her? What if she was moving toward it right now? Pines swayed in the breeze overhead, and sunlight slipped through the branches. In the distance, the southbound train approached with a gathering rumble. Soon it would come booming around the bend, shattering the afternoon with its inevitable thunder, oblivious and unyielding, harsh and exciting, charging the air with hope. This concludes the reading of The Girl from Blind River, a novel by Gail Macy. Copyright 2018 by Gail Macy. This book was read by Brittany Presley. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Crooked Lane Books and was produced in 2018 by Blackstone Publishing, which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Publishing. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.